"Your tent's done," I said. She closed the compad with something like relief, and allowed me to lead her towards the tent's opening. I had already checked the clearing for any lurking unpleasantness, the smaller venomous cousins of hamadryads, which we called drop-winders, but the place was safe. Still, Geeta moved hesitantly, afraid of putting her foot down on anything other than a brightly lit spot of ground, despite my reassurances. "You look like you're enjoying yourself," I said.
"Is that sarcasm, Tenna? Do you expect me to enjoy this?"
"I told him it would be better for all of us if you stayed at the reptile house." I unzipped the opening. Within was a pantry-sized airlock which kept the tent from deflating whenever someone came or went. We set up the three tents at the apexes of a triangle, linked together by pressurized corridors a few strides long. The tiny generator which fed the tents the air which kept them inflated was small and silent. Geeta stepped within and then said,
"Is that what you think, Tenna? That this is no place for a woman? I thought attitudes like that died before they ever launched the flotilla."
"No," I said, trying not to sound overly defensive. "That's not what I think at all." I moved to seal the outer door between us, so that she could enter the tent in her own privacy. But she put a hand up and held mine from the zip.
"What is it you think, then?"
"I think what's going to happen here won't be very pleasant."
"An ambush, you mean? Funny, I'd never have guessed that for myself."
I said something foolish. "Geeta, you have to realize, there are things you don't know about Kaweya, or me, for that matter. Things about the work we do. Things we have done. I think you will soon have a better idea about some of those things."
"Why are you telling me this?"
"I think you should be ready for it, that's all." I looked over my shoulder, towards the jungle where her husband had vanished. "I should get to work on the other tents, Geeta." When she answered, her voice had an odd quality to it.
"Yes, of course."
She was looking at me intently. Perhaps it was the way the light played on it, but her face seemed extraordinarily beautiful to me then. Like something painted by Gauguin. I think it was in that instant that my intention to betray Kaweya crystallized. The thought of it must have always been there, but it had taken that instant of searing beauty to bring it to light. If the shadows had fallen slightly differently across her face, I wondered, would I still have made that decision?
"Tenna, you're wrong, you know."
"About what?"
"Kaweya. I know a lot more about him than you think. A lot more than anyone here thinks they do. I know he's a violent man, and I know he's done terrible things, evil things, things you wouldn't even believe."
"You'd be surprised," I said.
"No, that's precisely the point. I wouldn't be. I'm not talking about the violent little deeds he's committed since you've known him. They're barely worthy of consideration compared to the things he did before. And unless you're aware of those things, you really don't know him at all."
"If he's so bad, why do you stay with him?"
"Because he isn't the evil man he used to be."
Something flashed between the trees, a stammer of blue-white light, followed a moment later by the report of a laser rifle. Something dropped through foliage to the ground. I imagined Kaweya stepping forward until he had found his kill, probably a small snake.
"Some people would say that an evil man never really changes, Geeta."
"Then they'd be wrong. It's only our deeds that make us evil, Tenna. They're what define us, nothing else, not our intentions or feelings. But what are a few bad deeds compared to a life, especially the kinds of lives we can live now?"
"Only some of us," I said.
"Kaweya's older than you think, Tenna, and the evil things he did were..."